Welcome to the City Point Church podcast. Thanks for joining us. Every day is an opportunity to take hold of, so we hope this message inspires you and builds your faith, that it helps you have more of a God perspective for your day. Enjoy.
Amazing. Thank you all so much. You can go ahead and grab your seats. Thank you guys so much for that incredibly warm welcome. Hey, while you are sitting down and grabbing your seats there, why don't you turn to the person next to you and I want you to look them fair in the eye. I want you to make sure it's that uncomfortable, awkward looking in the eye, looking fair in the eye. And I want you to say this as you're looking them in the eye. I want you to say, gee, you smell good today. Oh, is there anything more creepy than someone looking you in the eye and telling you that you smell good? It is disturbing. But the Word of God says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. It says, how sweet is the aroma of God's people. It actually talks about the fact that you are the sweet aroma of God to the people of this world. You smell like God. I don't know if my teenagers smell like God, but you smell like God. I don't know if you've ever had teenage children and you pick them up from school, my windows go down straight away. And I'm like, you honestly stink so bad. They're like, what are you talking about? I put on deodorant a week ago. My wife and I are incredibly honored to be able to come out here and share with you. We had the privilege of being able to lead our City Point Ipswich location. And we drove out there. My wife agreed to drive out from Ipswich with me this morning. And I think when you get the opportunity to drive with your wife in the car, it very much fulfills the scripture of what the Holy Spirit is like. Because the Bible says that the Holy Spirit and the Word of God is good for direction and correction. I found that the same is true with my wife when I'm driving with her in the car. She's good for direction, but more importantly, correction. You're too close. Back off. Do this, do that. I mean, I'm sure nobody in here understands or can relate to those moments whatsoever. Every married couple in here, it's just a peaceful journey when you drive for an hour together. It's glorious. I do want to honour my wife. She is truly incredible. And I also want to honour your pastors here, Pastor Graham and Pastor Mel. I just think they are just such incredible leaders. And would you just take a moment, just put your hands together and honour these guys just for a moment. I honestly believe that these guys are great leaders. And I want to say this. What makes a great leader is actually not talent. Now, don't get me wrong. These guys are incredibly talented. Like, they are seriously good communicators. They are incredible people. But that's not what makes them great leaders. Great leaders are defined by their ability to lead people who are greater than them. You see, a great leader is not chasing subjects. A great leader is not chasing people who are beneath them and below them, but chasing people who are better than them so that they can say, let's do this journey together. So what makes them great leaders is not their talent or their skills. What makes them great leaders is actually you. What makes them great leaders is when you step into the greatness that God has set aside for you. Because I don't know whether you realize this, but our God is a great God. I'd go as far as to say He is so great that He's the creator of all the universe. I'd go as far as to say that God is so great that there is none that can compare to Him. And it says in the Word of God that you are the aroma of God to this world. It says that you are the living, breathing, walking image now, today, on earth of who God is. No pressure. Easy as. How good is that? And what makes these guys great leaders is their ability to be able to lead you and point you in the direction that God has for you. When these guys lead, it's not because they're wanting to make you a subject underneath them. It's because they see the greatness of our God. They see you as a reflection of the image of that great God. And they say, let's do this together. If you get the opportunity. I don't know, which of the services do you podcast? You guys just choose which one's the best and then decide. Well, you guys who are listening at home, I just want to say welcome to you. You're probably listening to this service right now because the one in this morning, it was an amazing time, but it was just purely like, I didn't even get to my notes, I don't think. I think we were just like in love with Jesus and just, you know. And by the way, this is a great reason. My wife said to me, she turned to me in that service and she said,
This is a good reason for people to serve on team, because they get the best of both services if you serve on team. So if you're not serving on team, you get a huge advantage when you serve on team. You get the best of both services. In fact, that is actually such a good opportunity. These guys should be like, man, we're going to need a roster where people can only serve once a year because you guys are so excited for it. Trust me, you missed out if you weren't here in the 8:30 service this morning. 8:30? Was that time we started? 9 a.m. That's what I said. What did you guys hear? You missed out if you weren't here in the 9 a.m. service. I'm telling you, man, something was significant. There was things that shifted over people's lives in that service. And all you need to do to be able to attend both services is serve on team. Simple as. Imagine all you had to do was do that. It was easy. All right, we're going to open up the Word of God. It says this in the Word of God. I'm getting to my notes this time, so you should be excited. In Matthew chapter 20, if you've got your Bible, shout amen. If you've got it on an app, shout got it. If you can see it on the screen, shout that'll do. Close enough. Matthew chapter 20, we're going to start from verse 1. I do like to read big chunks of the Bible because I love the Word of God. I don't know about you, I love the Word of God. Without the Word of God in our lives, what are we actually standing on? Opinions and ideas.
That's right. Come on.
And I don't know whether you've heard the saying about what opinions are like, but I'm sure you can Google them and you'll find them. It says this, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. He agreed them to pay a denarius for the day and sent them out into his vineyard. About 9 in the morning, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. He told them, 'You can go also and work in my vineyard, and I'll pay you whatever is right.' So they went. He went out again about noon and 3 in the afternoon and did the same thing. About 5 in the afternoon, he went out and found still others standing around. He asked them, 'Why have you been standing here all day long doing nothing?' 'Because no one has hired us,' they answered. He said to them, 'You also go and work in my vineyard.' When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, 'Call the workers and pay them wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first.' The workers who were hired about 5 in the afternoon came and each received a denarius. So when those who came who were hired first, they expected to receive more, but each of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. 'Those who were hired last worked only 1 hour,' they said, 'and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of work and the heat of the day.' But he answered one of them, 'I'm not being unfair to you, friend. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. If I want to give the one who was hired last the same as I gave you, don't I have the right to do so do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous?' So the last will be first and the first will be last. Let me pray for you real quick. God, I thank you for your word. I thank you that we get to explore and understand it together today. I pray that as we delve into this a little deeper, God, that you'll speak to us. What a privilege that would be. Lord, if anything comes out of my mouth that draws people closer to you, I acknowledge that that's you speaking. And may you receive all glory, honor, and praise for that. But if anything comes out of my mouth that brings doubt or confusion, I repent before my brothers and sisters in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, my wife and I, we have, as you can guess, because I mentioned the fact that we've got teenage children, we have 4 children, all of which are daughters. Usually at this point, anyone who knows what teenage daughters are like will sigh and go, "You poor man. I appreciate your sympathy, but I've got a lot longer to go yet." So we've got 4 daughters, and my eldest daughter, she's about to turn 16, which means she's about to get her license. This is a warning for you. We do live in Ipswich, but it might be a good idea to avoid the roads in Ipswich for the next 12 months. But my daughter, she's just about to turn 16, and she's also just got her first job at Red Rooster. She was, which is like the least used fast food chain, I believe. She was super excited, though, to be able to get her job, but she still has no idea what her job really fully entails. And I was thinking about that for a moment, about how often are we in that same scenario? You know when you're like, you're about to start a new job? And maybe you're like, "Yes, I can't believe it, I've got this job." And you're like, "Okay, well, what is the job?" And you're like, "It's a job." And you don't really know what the job is like until you actually start working in the job. Most of us can relate to that sort of experience and that feeling. You know, I was thinking about this passage, and a lot of time when people speak of this passage, they look at the concept and the idea of the last being first. And it's a reasonable thing to look at when you look at this passage. But I'm a bit obscure, if I'm honest with you. And I actually like to be able to look at the Word of God and see things that others don't see. I'm kind of a little bit like fixated on it. It's like my thing. I do a podcast with a couple of mates of mine, and one of the things that we do in this podcast is we try and find scriptures and then we try and place ourselves in it. One of the guys in the podcast came from a Catholic church, and they call this Ignatius thinking. And so often we try and look in the scriptures and just try and go, man, what would it be like to have actually been there? Here Jesus tells this story. And most of us look at the punchline of the story as the idea and the concept of what the workers get paid at the end of the day. When I look at this story, I suppose one of the things I see is a little bit different. I actually see the very premise of the purpose and the reasoning for our entire existence and our faith, full stop, underlined. You see, most of us, when we think about what it means to be a Christian, and most of us, I'm an evangelist, right? And so most of the time when we think about what it means to be a Christian as an evangelist, we're talking to people about how good Jesus is and how lonely and how separated life without Him is and how He makes us whole and complete. When we think about our Christian journey, we think about our ability to be able to walk with God again, and these things are true. To be a Christian means to be able to be walking with God. It means that Jesus comes to us. But to be a Christian actually carries some more than just that. To be a Christian, if you actually look at it, means that you are now not a citizen of earth, but a member of the kingdom of heaven. In fact, if you look at that as being the premise, underline, full stop, exclamation mark, and whatever symbols and emojis you want after it. But the very premise of your faith is that you become a part of the kingdom of God. And then you read the Word of God through those eyes, you actually begin to see everything that's talked about is giving us a picture of what the kingdom of God is like. When we become a part of the kingdom of God, as Paul says it, I'm no longer a citizen of this world. I'm in the world, but I'm not of the world. That's how we can operate in these two realms and these two spheres at the same time. Here, Jesus starts to talk about what it's like in the kingdom of heaven. What it's like in the kingdom of heaven, it actually, if you look at the premise of the story, it is simply this. It involves work. I've titled today's message, You Got the Job. Because those of us who walk with God need to understand that the premise of that means this. You've got the job. The job is to actually be in the world, but not of the world. Yes, you're a citizen of the kingdom of heaven, but as Pastor Mel said before, if God was done with you, you wouldn't be on earth yet. Still, you'd be in heaven. Simple as that. The very fact that you're still on earth means that your job is not finished. If you look at this story, I actually think the part that we relate to most is the fact that it's 5 o'clock in the evening. If I look around the world right now, I got to say, maybe they've been saying this for centuries, but it really doesn't feel like there's much time left, does it? Like, look around right now. I look around right now and I'm aware of this, that in Australia, before COVID hit, 7% of our nation would go to church on a regular basis. Regular basis meaning once every 4 weeks. From COVID, we know that most churches have dropped by like half. We're now looking at 3.5%, maybe 4% on a good day of our churches, people that are going to church on a regular basis, which means, guess what? We are a small minority. And it's about time we opened our eyes and realized that, because when we open our eyes and realize that, we begin to understand this. There's no one else to do your job but you. Pastor Graham and Pastor Mel cannot transform all of Brisbane North on their own. It ain't going to happen, y'all. But they can lead people into greatness. They can lead people who understand the concept of, I've got the job. There's no other church that can do it. There's only this church. There's no other Christian community that can do it. There's only you and your family and the people that are sitting in this room with you. If you're on earth, you're not done yet. I want to talk to you really quickly about what it actually looks like when we work in the kingdom of God. First and foremost, please understand, this is a 24/7 job. This is not a Sunday from, 10 to 11:30. When you work for the kingdom of heaven, it means that you're still alive and breathing on earth. When your job is finished, you'll collect your pay in heaven. But while you're still here, you're working in His vineyard. You do understand that that part's important too, right? It's His vineyard. It's His earth. Now, I get it. The devil used to have dominion over the earth. But Jesus died and rose again so He could kick that puny little devil's butt and take dominion over all the earth. That's why when Jesus rises from the dead, remember He says, all authority in heaven and earth has now been given to me. It's been given back to me, which means it's His vineyard now. We are working on God's earth for His purpose 24/7. You don't get to switch off your faith. If you're listening on podcast, it means you're probably of a generation that may be a bit different to the generation that's in here. No offense, everyone in here. But if you're listening on podcast, let me say this to you. That you don't get to switch off your faith this Friday night. You don't get to switch off your faith this Saturday. You don't get to switch off your faith when you're in your workplace. It is who you are. You are a citizen of the kingdom of heaven working 24/7. So, first and foremost, the thing that we need to understand when we're a citizen of the kingdom of heaven and working for Him is that you are never in want. And most people here, they would talk about a generosity passage or a generosity verse. Let me read this to you from Matthew 11. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. When I first became a Christian at 17, I grew up in the church. My story is a bit of a weird one. Became a Christian at 17, got married at 19, started working in ministry or paid ministry at 20. The very first thing I did was take people overseas on mission trips. We would go into the poorest communities in the world. We would plant ourselves there for a month plus. We would live in community, live in people's houses, eat what they eat, sleep how they sleep. If you tell people over there, when you follow Jesus, you'll never be in want, it's a very different picture and perspective to what we have over here in the West. When we had that over here in the West, we're like, Lamborghini, I want one. Maserati, wouldn't mind it. Bigger screen TV, sounds reasonable. Bible says I'll never be in want. I remember one of the most powerful worship sessions I ever had was a place called Smoky Mountain in the Philippines, which is a dump where thousands of people live. They build their houses out of the materials they find in their dump. And we were worshiping and they were singing that very concept. God, you are everything. You're all that I need. And I'm looking around going, really? Because I'm pretty sure you could do with some new digs. You see, when the Bible talks about us never being in want when we're working in the kingdom of heaven, you might be poor. You might not have the latest TV and you might not even have a good working car at times. You may even be out of physical jobs on earth, but the fact that you're never in want is actually talking about your soul. Jesus here doesn't say, take my yoke upon you and you'll never have any needs again. He doesn't say, take my yoke upon you and you'll be financially prosperous all the days of your life. He says, no, you will find rest for your souls. Can I just tell you, church, that when you're operating out of a place of a rested soul, you'll never work another day in your life. When you're operating out of a place of a rested soul, you'll never work another day again. When you're a worker in the kingdom of heaven, you are never in want. When you're a worker in the kingdom of heaven, number two is this: whatever you do to others, you do to the boss. Most of us would treat our boss a little bit different to the way how we would treat our co-workers. Most of us. Some people may not understand that concept and then they're out of jobs within 3 months. Most of us understand that the boss has a certain authority, but in the kingdom of heaven, whatever you do to others, you do to the boss. Matthew 25, this is the separating of the sheep and the goats. And Jesus says, the king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. Whatever we do to anyone else around us, we do to Jesus. My question is, how do you treat Jesus? Look at your own life. Don't look at my life. Don't look at the person next to you. Definitely don't look at your husband or wife. Just think about yourself. How do you treat Jesus? Let me ask you, how did you treat Jesus this week? Whatever you do to others, you do to the boss. When we're a worker in the kingdom of heaven, this is how we define things. The third thing, but remember, let's go back. You're never in want. We're talking about your soul. Whatever you do to others, you do to the boss. Number three, this one is not a good one. Number three is this. You'll know you have done a good job in the kingdom of heaven when you are hated. If you're not being hated, then you're probably not doing a good job. Yeah. There are a few people in here who understand that right now. My brother over here understands that. Now, that doesn't mean we go out and seek to be controversial for the sake of being hated. It means this. We are authentic and we are true to our faith. And guess what? Some people are going to hate that. Oh, you're one of those gay-hating Christians, aren't you? No, I'm not. Absolutely not. I love every single person. Why? Because whatever I do to them, I do to the boss. But I have standards. You're going to hate me because of my standards. I live according to what the Word of God says, and if I do that, you're going to hate me because of it. If you need any proof, it says this. If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world. Why? Because you belong to the kingdom of heaven. But I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. If you ain't being hated, you're not trying hard enough. If you ain't being hated, you're just not loving enough. If you ain't being hated, you're not knocking on enough doors. If you ain't being hated, then the church isn't reaching far and wide enough. I get so excited when a current affair hates us. They don't even understand the blessings they're pouring over the church when they do that, do they? Hey, the Bible says you're blessed when that happens. So when they run these articles, we don't get infuriated. We thank them. When the world around you hates you, you don't get upset and demand justice. You thank them. Why? Because it means you're doing a good job. All right. When you're a citizen of the kingdom of heaven, you're a worker 24/7, you're never in want. Whatever you do to others, you do to the boss. You're going to be hated. Number four, we're nearly there. When you discover it, you will have found pure life. Remember in John 4, when Jesus is talking to the woman at the well, for those who don't know the story, one of my favorite stories, read it up for yourself, or you can listen to it on your devices with a Bible reading it to you. But in John 4, verse 10, Jesus answers this woman. He says, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asked you for a drink, you would have asked me and he would have given you living water. When you work for the kingdom of heaven, the refreshments are amazing. It's like pure life. You know they say when you love what you do, you never work a day in your life? And when you work for the kingdom of heaven, there are just things you can't describe. In fact, at the end of this story in John chapter 4, disciples come up to Jesus and are like, hey, Jesus, we got you a feed. And he's like, you don't understand. I eat food that you know not of. My food is to do the will of the Father. My food is to do the will of the one who sent me. Yo, we're at 5:00. Time is running out. Our world needs workers. No one else can do it. Why? Because we're too small a minority. You're not too old and you're not too young. You're just right. How do I know? Because you're still breathing. That's it. I know what some of you might be thinking right now. Hey, I may not be qualified. One of the greatest things you can ever see on a job application is no skills required. No skills required. Hebrews 13. Now may the God of peace, who through the blood of our eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. In other words, God will literally equip you for whatever it is he sets before you. No skills required. Oh, but you don't understand. Yes, I do, because the Bible tells me no skills required. So what do I need to be? Obedient. What do I need to be then? Breathing. If you're breathing, your job's not done. Are you taking it seriously? Because we're running out of time. The final point is this. The job is so hard that it actually becomes easy. Matthew 11, that same passage I read from before. It says this. Verse 30. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The problem is that we look at working for the kingdom of heaven through the filter of everything we've done in the kingdom of this world. We go, man, it's going to be too hard. I can't possibly. I ain't skilled enough. I ain't talented enough. I'm not the preacher. I'm not the evangelist. I'm not the this. There's no one else but you. So all you need is the Holy Spirit. He'll equip you. Either that or the Bible's a lie. You've got to choose which one you're going to believe. And if the Bible's a lie, you all can go home and just relax. But if the Bible is God's word, and if you believe the Bible is God's word, you can't pick and choose which bits you believe. It tells me that we are all his workers. That's why I'm like, hey, serving is service. That's why I like that growth track. So I'm like, couldn't be better timing for me to speak on this when that's going on. Why? Because that's just all about trying to get you in the right mind space and trying to be able to understand who God is and who you are in this world. 5 o'clock, y'all. We're running out of time. It's no one but you. No other church but this church. It's not somebody else's responsibility. It's your responsibility. You want to know what your part is to play? The missing part. The thing that you can see that's missing, that's your part to play. There's no room for whingers in the kingdom of heaven. There's only room for workers. We're lucky, y'all. We get to start at 5 in the afternoon. Some of you can relate to this passage because you can go, I'm like that one in the marketplace. As a pastor, I get to say this in other people's church. It's much harder in my own. The part where it says, why have you been standing around all day doing nothing? No one hired us. Guess what? I got good news today. You got the job. No one hired us. Good news. You got the job. And your pay will be the same pay that the Apostle Paul has. Your pay, get this, is the same pay that Jesus has. You get to share the inheritance of Jesus. Either that or the Word of God's a lie. You're going to make a choice today. But when Jesus says, don't follow me unless you understand the cost. Because you'll get halfway through and go, this is hard. I didn't know it was going to be like this. He said, you're better off not even starting. The fact that you're here today excites me. Because it means you're already taking the first step in the right direction. You got the job. It's no one but you. No skills required. My first job was at Hungry Jack's. And I didn't realize that when I came home, I smelt like a burger. But I did. My wife's first job was at Darrell Lee. Then she worked at a cafe. By the time I knew her, she was working at the cafe. When we used to hang out, I could tell when she'd been working because she smelt like the place she worked. When you work for the kingdom of heaven, you smell like heaven. How sweet is the aroma of God to the people of this world. Oh, it smells good. The passage actually goes on. It's in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. You can read it for yourself. The passage goes on to say, to some it smells like life. To others, though, it smells like death. That's the hate bit. It's offensive. If I didn't like the smell of coffee, I would have been in trouble when I started dating my wife. Because every time I would have got around her, I would have had to keep my distance. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. You got the job. You're a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. Would you close your eyes and bow your head? Maybe you're listening to this today and you're hearing me speak and you're thinking to yourself, geez, wouldn't that be nice? But maybe you're hearing me speak and you're realizing, actually, I'm not entirely right with God in myself. Maybe you're hearing me speak and you're thinking, I don't even know if I'm a Christian, let alone get the job. But now you know what it means to be a Christian. Yes, Christ walks with you. Yes, you get all those benefits I mentioned, but you've still got to make the decision. Then when God comes up to you, you've got to make the decision to say, yeah, I want in. Today, before I ask you to step up and say, hey, I want the job, I'm starting at 5 o'clock. Today, before we even do that, if you're in here, the Bible tells me that the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin. If you're in here and there's a stirring in you that your life is not right with God, that's not me convicting you. That's not the nice music convicting you. That's the Holy Spirit convicting you. And if that's the case, you're not rejecting me when you're saying, no, not me. You're just ignoring His Spirit moving. You may have been in church your whole life, but in this moment, you've just realized you don't even know if you're a Christian. We get everyone to close their eyes so you don't have to feel judged. I want you to feel convicted, but not judged. There's a difference. If that's you, regardless of how long you all have been in church, all I'm going to ask you to do is to raise your hand right now. There is no pressure from me on this moment. If the Spirit of God is moving, He'll do His thing. If that's you, would you just raise your hand? Thank you so much. I see that hand. I see that hand. The only reason I get you to raise your hand is for your sake, because when you do that, you're acknowledging and you're admitting what's going on, and from there, repentance can take place. So as I look around one last time, if that's you and you know it's you, would you raise your hand in this moment? Father God, I thank you so much for that person who raised their hand. I pray by the power and the anointing of your Holy Spirit that you will bring that person to repentance. That God, today, that you would set them free. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Hey, while everyone else is here, if you this morning, you're convicted and you've realized that today, that it's the 5 o'clock hour and that you've realized, you know what? I've got to step into this moment and realize I've got to start being that worker. Then would you make a decision within your own heart right now? Would you say, today I accept that job. Today I accept what it means to work for the kingdom of heaven. You're not done yet. Jesus.
So good. I just want to say a prayer over the church. Father, we thank you that you have chosen us. And today, we don't just say yes in the sense of salvation to you. We've given our lives to you. We're Christians. But we say yes, we will put our hand to the plow. Father, I pray for every person in this church, that as you have commissioned them today, as they walk out of these buildings in just a moment, out of this building, that Father God, you would start to speak to them, remind them of their gifts, remind them of their talents. Father, and I pray that you would open their hearts and their eyes to see how they can use them for the kingdom of God. Father God, today we say yes because we are a church that won't look to another, but we will say it's us, the time is here and it's now, and we are the ones. And we give you the praise and the glory for this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Can we put our hands together for Simo and Lisa? Such an amazing...